So for the last several years, we've taken a pause from our regular expository preaching here at Gospel Church to have a couple of sermons on the topic of the biblical family. Next week, Tom's going to talk about a biblical understanding of the household and how the idea of the household has been corrupted by worldly thinking. So that's next week. Today, I'm approaching the idea of caring for aging parents from a biblical perspective. Eli's here. I have to rewrite my sermon. Hi, Eli. What it says is, let me say as I begin that many in Gospel Church are doing exceedingly well in this regard. I wish Eli Miller was in town to hear this metaphor this morning. Indeed. So Eli, please enjoy this metaphor. The Proverbs tell us that as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. When you make a new blade, Eli makes knives, if you didn't know about that. So when you make a new blade, you start with just a flat piece of steel, right? And Eli, you can correct me if I'm off base on any of this. And you use a grinder or something really, really coarse to roughly shape the blade. And then you use finer and finer abrasives until you've got the shape ready, and it's ready to be sharpened. And then you use a fine abrasive to put a cutting edge on it so it's ready to use. Looking at the people of Gospel Church, several of whom are caring for aging parents, I don't feel like we need to do any of that stuff here this morning. But have you ever seen a professional chef with his honing steel, and he gets his knife out, and I don't know how he goes back and forth with it, but back and forth on the honing steel to just kind of knock the smallest imperfections off of it and sharpen it up for use? That's where we're at this morning. I just want to tidy up our thinking a little bit on this topic so that we all have a common understanding of what the Bible says about caring for our aging parents. And maybe this isn't your situation. Maybe your parents have already passed, or you're young and this situation is decades away for you, or for whatever reason this isn't immediately applicable to you. Well, listen up anyway, because you may be in a situation to help or to encourage someone else, or maybe there will be some hidden gems in this that do apply to you. And regardless, it's always good to have a well-rounded theology. So let's dive in. We live in a world that has deliberately torn apart the idea of multi-generational vision. Our world is built to tear apart the family. Mom and dad have been divorced for years. Dad gets up in the morning, kisses his new girlfriend goodbye, and goes off to his workplace. Mom gets up, drops off the little brother at the neighborhood elementary school. Middle kid rides the bus to the middle school. Big sister drives to the high school across town. After school, they all have homework and different sports. They might pass each other on the weekends as they go hang out with their friends. Then on Sunday morning, dad watches football with his buddies. Mom goes to megachurch to the divorced women's Sunday school class. The kids get sent to various buildings for children's church or youth group. And so in this regard, your typical church is no different from the rest of the world. And then maybe a couple of times a year, maybe at Thanksgiving and Christmas, everybody gets in the car and drives to see the grandparents. Even then, as grandma and grandpa get old, but thankfully their corporate jobs from the 1980s came with good benefits and they have long-term care insurance. So as their bodies begin to wear down, as we inevitably do, and as their memories begin to decline, they move into a senior community, and then eventually into a nursing home. And we go for a visit once in a while, and we think of them from time to time. This morning, I want us to really begin to think about these things in biblical terms. Is this pattern really the right way to view our aging parents? Is this the right way to love them and care for them? Or is something wrong with this, and we need a new perspective? Let's just start out with some basics about the relationship between parents and their children. Starting with the most basic, we see in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, "Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." It's repeated in Deuteronomy 5, "Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." And then Paul quotes it, as Tom read for us, in Ephesians 6, "Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So we have a duty to honor our parents. I want you to note a couple things about this commandment. Paul points out that it is the commandment with a promise attached. But notice there are a couple of things that are not attached to this commandment. It is not the commandment with an expiration date. We do not outgrow the commandment to honor our parents. We don't only have a duty to honor our parents until we become teenagers, when we think we know more about everything than they do. So we no longer need to listen to those dumb old people who just don't understand. We don't stop honoring our parents when we move out of their home. We don't stop honoring our parents when we get married and start our own families. We don't stop honoring our parents when we get careers and paychecks. We don't stop honoring our parents if we exceed their social status or if our careers seem somehow more impressive or glamorous than theirs. It's simply, honor your father and mother. It is true that a man isn't always subject to his parents' authority. Genesis 2 does tell us, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. A man isn't part of his parents' household forever. He grows up, leaves, forms a new household. And while hopefully he grows into maturity and becomes his own man and doesn't dwell in their basement forever, it's no longer necessary for his parents to demand his obedience. They no longer have to tell him when to clean his room and brush his teeth and take out the trash. But his duty to honor them does not expire. So it's not the commandment with an expiration date, and it's also not the commandment with an excuse. Neither your parents' choices or their life circumstances or their financial status or their moral failures or their preferences that differ from yours, none of that lets you off the hook from honoring your mother and your father. It's not honor your father and mother unless they don't deserve it. This one can be hard for sure. Honor your father and mother. Not honor your father and mother if they are Christians. Not honor your father and mother if they behave the way you want them to. I'm going to get real here. If your father and mother are the scum of the earth, you must honor them. If your mother is toxic, honor her. If your father abused you, honor him. This isn't about your parents' behavior, it's about yours and mine. I know, I get it. Some of us were raised in really terrible, messed up situations. I'm not saying there's not a lot of difficult work to do to sort through that and deal with it. And there's probably some really heavy baggage from that, if that's you. But what I am saying is that as you process through all that, your goals, while getting your own self healthy, must include honoring your father and your mother. Even if your father and mother truly are the worst ever, even if they have proven to be your enemies, love them. We are to love our enemies, right? Certainly that would not exclude the worst father and mother in the history of the world. Honor your parents is not the commandment with an excuse. Just as you love your enemies and pray for those who spitefully use you, you must love the worst parents in the world. And don't mishear me. I'm not trying to say we shouldn't have proper boundaries to protect our families from difficult people. But you must honor your father and your mother while doing that. I don't know if any of us in this room have this kind of a dynamic with our parents. I hope and pray that this isn't the case for any of you. But I want to make it clear for all of us that there is no room for dismissing the command to love our parents and honor them just because they don't deserve it. If you are in this situation, struggling to honor your parents, talk it through with someone wise and strong in the faith. Contact Tom or me if you need us. But don't continue in the sin of dishonoring your parents. This is not a commandment with an excuse. The commandment is to honor your father and your mother. And so that commandment is really the foundation for everything about how we relate to our parents as they age. Not just as they age, but always. But for today's purposes, we're focusing on honoring them as they age, so certainly that. Let's think through some of this in very real terms. As life expectancies have grown over the past few generations, we're probably talking about parents who are well past 70 years old, right? I'm a tax accountant, so I think of things in terms of the tax law. The Social Security Administration now considers full retirement age to be 67 years old. The IRS requires certain types of retirement accounts to make distributions once one reaches 73 years old now. The IRS publishes life expectancy tables that govern some of these things. They say the average 70-year-old today is going to live to age 89. Of course, some 70-year-olds won't make it to 71, and some will make it to 100. But we're talking about statistical averages here. And if the Lord tarries, we all get one life, and we die once and then judgment, right? I don't want to get all numerological here or something. Some parents never need care, and others might need care in their 80s or 90s, and some might need care at a much younger age for whatever reason, health or life circumstances. So it's really not so much about age, but about the situation. Does your mother find herself widowed or divorced in her 50s and need your care? She might be the parent we're considering today. Are your parents going strong and able to take care of themselves well into their 80s or 90s? Maybe they don't need intervention yet. But except for those who are apparently healthy and then pass suddenly and unexpectedly, almost all of them will need us at some point. And almost all of us will need our children at some point when it's our turn. I remember as a little boy, my grandmother telling me, "Now, Tommy, your meemaw won't be around forever." She was 56 at the time. I'll be 56 in January, so this kind of hits with me. Of course, when you're a kid, one summer feels like a long time. In my 50s now, a year seems short. It doesn't seem like I should be old yet. A few months ago, I got a replacement credit card with an expiration date of January of 2030. That's the year I turned 60. How do I have a credit card that expires when I'm 60? I could take early Social Security retirement benefits only 6 years from now. I have a granddaughter who will be a teenager in a little more than a year. My youngest child is a grown 25-year-old man living with a career in another city hundreds of miles away. How did I get to be so old so fast? As it turns out, Meemaw was right. She wasn't around forever. She retired from JCPenney after a decades-long career. Seems like that was about 1982 or 3, only to take another job in retirement and work for another 20 years beyond that. But then she retired for good. I don't remember when we first noticed it, but maybe it was sometime like 2005, 2010, somewhere along in there, that we started to notice her mind wasn't working like it used to, even though she'd been, you know, healthy and vibrant for a long, long time. My father, at retirement age himself by then, moved back into his childhood home to take care of her as she aged and as she declined. The last several years of her life, she mostly didn't know who we were anymore. She called my father, her son, that nice man that comes to work around the house sometimes. It was hard. She finally passed away in 2013 at 94 years old. She was the last survivor from a family of 8 children. You know, your parents' progression might be significantly different, or your own story as you get older may not run the same way, but we're all headed to the same goal ultimately. So then how do we honor our parents through this process? What are our obligations? This may seem oversimple, but I think it's worth saying. Do not be a disgrace. A proverb says, "A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him." Don't be a fool. Do not grieve your mother and father and cause bitterness. Do not grieve your father and cause bitterness for your mother. Honor your father and mother. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and a pendant for your neck. I think that's largely a boy or young man's proverb, but if we need our father and mother's teaching when we're young, if we heed our father and mother's teaching when we're young, it will guide us through life as well. My mother constantly told me when I was a young boy, "You're a smart boy, figure it out. Whatever the challenge was, whatever the difficulty was, you're a smart boy, figure it out." And that's really shaped my life. I don't know that I'm always smart about things, but for better or for worse, I approach a problem with the confidence to solve it because my mother taught me, "You're a smart boy, figure it out." I think people who know me well would say that it's one of my defining characteristics, confidently going in to solve a problem. And all credit for that goes to my mother's teaching when I was young. I bet she told me that 1,000 times. It's been a graceful garland for my head and a pendant for my neck all of my 56 years. also what? So don't do that. Don't be a disgrace. Don't be a fool. Let your parents' teaching shape you when you're young. But what to do? And this is where wisdom must be exercised. There are very few practical commandments about this in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say you must move in with your elderly mother like my father did. There's no mandate about how siblings should divide up the work and share the burden. It's just real wisdom in action. Let me address the idea of a nursing home. In our culture, nursing homes are often used as a way to get mom and dad out of the way so we can continue with our lifestyle uninterrupted. I think what we really need to address here is the attitude of our hearts toward our parents. Are you honoring them, or are you setting them aside as an annoyance? I think the more responsibility you're able to take for your parents, the more honored they will be. Maybe that's the guiding principle in love and wisdom. There's no shame in moving your parents into a care facility if they literally need more physical care and support than you're able to provide. So I would say give them all you can, and love them all you can, and honor them all you can in that process. So I just wanted to be clear about that. I don't want to be misheard to say, oh, well, if you put your parents in a home, or if your parents need more difficult care than you're able to provide, then there's something wrong or lesser about you. And I don't mean that at all. It is a possibility, but it's your heart attitude that matters. Are you putting them in a nursing home because they need the care, or are you putting them in the nursing home because you like your lifestyle and don't want them to get in the way? What if your parents need care because of their own life choices? For example, what if your parent is unable to financially provide for themselves due to a lack of retirement planning or excess spending or carelessness or other bad choices? You know, I generally like Dave Ramsey. You know who I'm talking about, the financial guy? He emphasizes that the borrower is the lender's slave, which is a true proverb. I'm less a devoted follower of Ramsey and more of an occasional casual listener. I do like how he speaks plainly to people. But on multiple occasions, I've heard him tell people that their aging parents' poor financial choices do not create an obligation for the adult children. And I think he's completely off base about that. Paul tells Timothy this: honor widows. This is Paul telling Timothy this, but talking about the church, how the life of the church functions. Honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day, but she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Yeah, ouch. That's right. Don't be that. We do have an obligation to financially support our relatives. Note that there's no exception here for our widowed mother or grandmother, even if she chose not to have a retirement account or failed to save or squandered what she should have had for retirement. If you do not provide for your relatives, you have denied the faith and are worse than an unbeliever. I once heard Vodi Bakum preach that an unmarried Christian woman who gets pregnant should not go marry the man who is an unbeliever. Because two wrongs don't make it right. You've got out of wedlock pregnancy, and you've also got an unequally yoked marriage. And you don't do a second wrong thing to correct the first wrong thing. This is kind of like that. Even if your mother, I don't know, drank and gambled the family fortune away and is now destitute, I think you have an obligation to care for her. To not do that makes you worse than an unbeliever, regardless of how she doesn't have money now. So yes, you do have an obligation to financially support your parents if needed. Of course, do that in wisdom, with good sense, budgeting for everybody's well-being. You know, go into it with planning and thoughtfulness and care. But make sure your parents aren't destitute. You know, every situation's unique. Caring for parents may involve all kinds of messy stuff, depending on health, finances, living arrangements, all kinds of other factors. You may find that they need anything from cooking and cleaning to driving to doctors to help with bathrooms and bathing. Honoring them through these things will be difficult. Do what you must while preserving dignity and honor as much as possible. Tom read for us earlier, Shem and Japheth covering Noah's nakedness in the most honorable way. Consider those things as you care for your parents. And what about cognitive decline? Holly and I have noticed an awful lot of our older clients at our accounting firm experiencing a decrease in their memories and their reasoning functions. It's almost strange how many the last 3 or 4 years have had serious, rapid cognitive decline. I think I can count 6, maybe 8 clients who've gone from perfectly high functioning to completely losing their mental faculties and dying within just a couple of years. I don't know what's causing it, if there's even a definable cause, but it's pretty tragic to watch. One recently deceased man comes to mind. I knew him for about, 10, 12 years, and he was a really, you would say he has a sweet disposition. He was a really kind man, and as his recognition on Holly's face caught me. he was a sweet guy. But in a matter of about 2 years, his wife came to us and said, call him Joe, is beginning to lose his ability to think, and it seems to be progressing rapidly. And then a few months later, she comes in and tells us, now he's just absolutely completely belligerent all the time, and he's even physically abused her some. And she had to get some help with that, but how weird that, your personality can just totally change in that short of time, and then he did pass within a couple of years of being diagnosed. Mercifully, his body failed rapidly, and she didn't have to live with him like that for very long. Another client, though, did exactly the opposite. He was a surgeon down at Mercy, mid-60s, not terribly old. He was a surgeon at Mercy, and he began to experience some decline. He was a assertive guy. He knew how to make a decision. He knew how to speak clearly and talk to people. And within a couple of years, he also died, just recently, actually. But he turned into a sweet guy. I don't know how that works. Anyway, I'm just telling stories here. I don't know how all that works. It's remarkable. And so we may find ourselves in these situations, is why I bring it up. So you just don't know how these things are going to go, but it seems really common. There's no clear right and wrong path for how to honor your parents in these things. But patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Patience is yours in the Spirit. So just exercise patience and pray for wisdom. I would say care for them at home as much as you can, but if in love you really just can't, again, there's no shame in hiring help or moving them into a facility that's able to do what you can't do. Kids, young men and women, I want to address you for just a moment. These things may seem like they're really far off for you, and that's fine. But you too can start off by working hard to honor your own parents right now. Be obedient, be respectful. Do everything you do the very best you can as unto the Lord. Don't grumble and complain. Don't even grumble and complain on the inside while acting obedient on the outside. Train your hearts now to honor your parents truly so that you'll be equipped for the day when it comes. And love and serve your grandparents if you're still blessed to have them with you. If your parents are caring for aging grandparents, join in. Bless your parents and your grandparents with your service. Tom read for us earlier from Ephesians 6, the part about children and parents, but he also read for us the part about bondservants and masters. The bondservants are instructed, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as from the heart, rendering service with a good will, as to the Lord and not to man. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or free. So kids, is there any of that wouldn't apply to you and your relationship with your fathers as well, or your parents as well? Obey your parents, not just out of a duty to obey, but out of joy. Incline your hearts toward obeying your parents and honoring them. I think We're going to get out of here a little bit early today. So why would God instruct us to honor our parents, regardless of whether they are honorable? Because ultimately, this is not about honoring your earthly father. It's about honoring your heavenly father. Now, don't mishear this. Honor that is not genuine is not honor at all. So truly honor your parents, not just on the outside, but on the inside as well. Consider the honor that Jesus showed his father. The father sent his son to live in humility as a man and then to give up his own life for a bunch of ingrateful, rebellious sinners. Jesus didn't do what he did because we deserved it. He did it perfectly to honor his father. And thus we also honor our parents, truly to honor them, whether they deserve it or not, but even more, to honor our true eternal Father, the Father God in heaven. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. God, you deserve every bit of honor we can muster for you. We want to honor you in all that we do. We want to do everything that we do as unto the Lord. And so as we face aging parents and parents that need our care as their bodies decline and fail and as their minds decline and fail, Father, just give us the wisdom that we need and all the love in our heart through the power of your Holy Spirit that we would do a good job at these things, that we would care for them well and give them the honor that you deserve and that we have due to them regardless of how they got to the situation where they are, whether it's their own fault or whether it's just health or aging. Father, make us children that show honor to our parents, that it may go well with us and that we may live long in the land. Father, we thank you for being such a kind and generous and gracious Father. You are deserving of all the honor we can give you. And so we offer it to you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.